This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 7:45 here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. A whole lot of burgundy and gold will be discussed. And I'll be real, listening to my colleagues all day, I got to catch the tail end of Grant Danny. I was listening to the Team 980 a little bit earlier today. I caught a little bit of the Junkies this morning. Everyone in this town is in an absolute panic right now about the Washington Commanders. And I'll be honest, I love it. I love it. I love to see you all fret and squirm because I've been kind of saying this after last week against Pittsburgh. It felt like, all right, in reality, the Commanders have yet to beat a legit playoff contender. Started off 7-2. You got humbled on Sunday by Pittsburgh in a game where you were a couple of plays away. And then last night was as sobering of a loss as you could possibly have. Yeah, I know the scoreboard says it was a one-possession football game, but if you watched, the Washington Commanders got beat down as that game wore on. There was clear fatigue, and it looked like a group, and I hate when people have said this, but I have to agree, it looked like a group that needed a bye week. And I'm not here for the baked-in excuses for Washington, but let's just be real about the situation. They've been going nonstop since July. And what did I say coming out of Pittsburgh? What did I say going into Pittsburgh? You were going to learn a hell of a lot about this football team over this two-game stretch. Going into Pittsburgh Sunday, going into Philadelphia last night. And I think we did learn a whole lot. I think the number one thing I learned about the Washington Commanders over the past two games is that this group, despite being ahead of schedule, this group still is not a legit Super Bowl contending team. And that is okay. We're in year one of a rebuild. It is a-okay if you're not a bona fide Super Bowl contender from the get-go with a new regime here in town. That's fine. I know the first 9 weeks put everyone's expectations sky high. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. They looked unstoppable at times over the first 9 weeks. But what we've seen here the past 2 weeks, specifically on offense, It's kind of concerning. It is. And I'm at least going to admit that. I say it all the time. I don't need to spend too much time surfing the internet, Twitter, X, to hear the opinions of some of you punch drunk fans. Because scrolling the internet last night, X was the most toxic cesspool that you could possibly be in. People are all over the place. It's like a Chinese fire drill on X last night. And people are all over the place in terms of their emotions and how they feel about this team after dropping two consecutive games for the first time this year. So you can talk about brotherhood all you want. We can talk about how close-knit this team is all you want. We're going to find out how close-knit this group is when they reconvene against Dallas coming up next Sunday. At 7-4, everything is still in front of you if you're the Washington Commanders. And when you look at your schedule down the stretch compared to Philadelphia's schedule down the stretch, argument to be made, you still, in some lenses, are in the driver's seat in the NFC East. That's just the way I feel about it. Because let's be honest, as bad as Washington looked at times offensively, oh my gosh, Jalen Hurts sucks. Jalen Hurts is a bad quarterback. That's where I'm at with it. So, as good as Philadelphia's looked over the past 5 weeks, really, when is it, six in a row? As good as that group has looked, you couldn't have watched last night and thought, wow, Jalen Hurts is a $200 million quarterback. So I say all that to say, Philadelphia still has some difficult games down the stretch. And at L.A., at Baltimore, home for Pittsburgh, and they've got to come here to Washington. You can make the argument that, hell, they may lose at L.A. next weekend. That's just the way things could go. So after last night, I don't look at things changing too much in terms of where Washington sits. I just think now the expectations can change. I can confidently say after watching them Sunday and watching them last night against Philadelphia, this notion that Washington is a Super Bowl contender is far-fetched. And I've been kind of screaming this from the mountaintops. There are two tiers of teams in the NFC conference alone. There are the Super Bowl contenders, and those are teams that are right on the doorstep. Your contenders, Detroit, Green Bay, Philadelphia, teams right on the doorstep. I look at Atlanta, Minnesota, Washington, San Francisco. Washington's not in that top tier in the NFC, and that's okay. That's okay. The bigger part of last night that I think needs to be discussed, though, is the offense. For 9 weeks, this offense came out like gangbusters and looked virtually unstoppable at times. In the last 2 weeks, their production has come to a screeching halt. And if you thought Sunday against Pittsburgh was bad, I think last night at times they were even worse. Their inability to have any type of consistency on offense is why they lost the game last night. Defense also gave up 20 points in the fourth quarter. But damn, what do you expect from Washington on that side of the football when they're having to play the volume of snaps that they're having to play defensively? Eagles won the time of possession by 7 minutes. In reality, felt like it was more than that. But you got outgained by damn near 200 yards. That's my frustration here. Where is the efficiency offensively? How does Washington correct this? Because I'm a believer in this. You have a mini bye, get healthy, and self-scout a little bit. Look yourselves in the mirror and ask, are we playing with the detail we need to play with? Are we executing at the level we need to execute at? Are we properly installing things? It's a short week on the road against a high-caliber football team, and you lost. That's the point-blank, straightforward way of looking at it. When you start to parse the details, that's when the conversation gets interesting to me. Because I've long felt like Cliff Kingsbury has not had the patience necessary when running the football against good defenses. You go back to Baltimore, you go to Pittsburgh, you go to Chicago, and then you go to last night against Philadelphia. Brian Robinson finished the game 16 carries, 63 yards, averaging damn near 4 yards a pop, and he only got 16 carries. And I understand there were negative runs. I understand it wasn't always hitting for them. But my thing is exactly that. If you're a team that is going to live and die by running the football, if you're a team that's going to be hell-bent on having balance offensively, you've got to run the football no matter the circumstance. You need it, especially the way in the current state that your offense is in right now. You need the running game. Your offensive line is struggling. Your pass game is non-existent. You need to be able to run the football. Washington had success running the football last night, but for whatever reason, did not stick with it. And that's the frustrating part. Granted, give credit to Philadelphia. It's a good defensive front. It's a good secondary. They made things difficult. Vic Fangio and company muddied up the picture for Jayden Daniels in a way that he probably hadn't seen it muddied this entire year. That is what Vic Fangio and company live by defensively. Showing you one thing pre-snap, and then post-snap, an entirely different picture is painted. And what we saw last night was a young quarterback that was not decisive on where to go with the football, that was not stepping into throws, and that was not confident, point blank. See, that's the thing that annoys me. And I said this after the Pittsburgh game, and it becomes more true now seeing all of you on social media. If he's hurt and he's out there, he got to play. He's got to play. The one thing that I noticed coming out of Pittsburgh that really caught my eye, and it's something he's done at other times this year, is the fading away when throwing the football. Drifting away from his throws. Not following through. How much of that has to do with the rib injury? I'd say it plays a part. It's just physics. If you fade away from the throw, and there's pressure in your face, the blow is lessened. You step into the throw, you make yourself susceptible to get popped. So that's what I'm seeing from him over the last 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and against Philadelphia. That young man has to step into his throws. There's plenty of areas to be critical of when it comes to his game last night. And it's not just about being critical for the sake of being critical. These are things that have to improve, or you're going to continue to struggle offensively. He missed throws last night that we're simply just not accustomed to him missing. What I'm not going to do is have my opinion on the kid shift dramatically based on the last 2 weeks, but I am taking note of some of the poor habits, quite frankly, that have been created since he injured his ribs. And I think the fading away and not stepping into his throws is a problem. But last night, it wasn't just about the injury. It was about what he was seeing, what the picture showed him post-snap. There was confusion on where to go with the football. They could not generate easy offense last night consistently. We saw it at times with some of the checkdowns in the flat to Austin Ekeler. Get your best guys the football and let them make guys miss. You know what happened? You know what the counter was to that? Or throwing your slants because Philadelphia's playing off coverage. You know what happens to that? Okay. Off coverage. Defensive end drops back into the passing lane. Jaden Daniels has to then put the football down and look to move to his next read. And guess what? Somebody on the interior's gotten beat. The one thing that we cannot do with this offense is act as if there's one reason why they've struggled the past 2 weeks. I don't know if it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing. I tend to think it's a bad thing. There is not just one fix for this team offensively. There are a litany of problems right now that exist. Which one is the most glaring problem? That is what we will discuss here throughout this Friday night edition of Overtime. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The Washington Commanders offense has completely regressed over the past 2 weeks. For your money, what is the biggest reason Washington has regressed offensively? James is in Woodbridge. James, you have the interesting perspective of being an Eagles fan. What do you think?
I do. What's going on, youngest in charge? Good to finally hop on the radio with you, good sir.
Hey, appreciate
you doing a great
you,
job. I want to say that.
Appreciate you, man.
Yes, as an Eagle fan, I want to say I've been enjoying watching Jaden's progression, but you know I had to root for my Birds last night. The game itself was ugly on both sides. I got to say the NFC East is wide open no matter what right now. Whoever gets to act together first out of the Eagles and the Commanders is going to take it. But from a perspective of looking at the Commanders, man, I really don't see them taking the next step without another target. I mean, Zach Ertz is really their second top target. And that guy, I mean, he came through. He's a catch machine. But if you're not getting any yards or anything else after the catch, the rest of the guys, I don't know if it's drops or what, man. But 2 weeks ago against the Steelers, they should have won that game, counted like four or five drops. I mean, Jaden had zip on that ball against the Steelers. Last night, he looked like he was hurt. I didn't see the zip. I didn't see the movement in the arm when he was trying to push forward. So he's getting a little bit, you know, worse for the wear. And those receivers just ain't the right answer, man. So unless they do something, which I don't know that they can at this point in time, I think the Eagles are – I think my Birds are going to take the East because Saquon is the one-man record machine.
Well, James, here's the thing, and I'm going to keep you on here while I ask you this because I don't know how long you've been listening. As an Eagles fan, there's no way you watched your offense last night and you watched that $200 million quarterback and thought that was a smart investment. So there's a lot of talk about the investment the Giants made in Daniel Jones. Jalen Hurts looks god-awful. He looked god-awful last night. Some of the misses are egregious. He throws with no anticipation.
Words have not been said.
He throws with no anticipation. He holds the football entirely too long. He leverages that offensive line way more than he should. In reality, the formula for the Philadelphia Eagles should be hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley 25 times a game and pass it to him another five and live with the results. Point blank.
Listen, Linnell, truer words have not been said, my friend. But ultimately, here's the formula. Jalen used to run the ball. He's shell-shocked right now for whatever reason. It's Carson Wentz 2.0. These guys start taking these hits, and they do not want to run anymore. I understand.
You don't think that's the case with Jaden? James, I appreciate the call. James just hit on it, man. There is a reluctancy to run from Jaden now. There is a hesitancy to run from Jaden now. And I am going back and forth internally with how I feel about it. Because on one hand, if he's not healthy, then why is he playing? But everything you continue to hear is that he's healthy, that he's healthy. There was a tidbit from the sideline reporter last night on Thursday Night Football. And Jaden said to her, yeah, you'll see me wince from time to time when I throw the football. It's going to be something I deal with the rest of the way. Let me say this, right? And I'm not in the business of babying a guy. I understand we're in the midst of a 7-4 start. The one thing about the quarterback position and certain injuries at that position is that it can naturally create bad habits. And the one bad habit that I feel like has been, I don't want to say it's been created because Jaden was already doing it before the injury happened. Pat Mahomes does it. Josh Allen does it. Lamar does it. The fading away in the face of pressure. See, one thing, rip Kirk to shreds. He wasn't the athlete that these other guys are, so he had to stand in there and take it on the chin. That's what I think is missing at times with Jaden Daniels. Hanging in the pocket and taking the shot. Knowing you're going to get hit. How much of that has to do with his ribs? How much of that has to do with his mentality? That's my thing. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The Commanders' offense has regressed significantly here in the past 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and last night against Philadelphia. There's a multitude of different reasons why. For your money, what is the number one reason the Commanders' offense has regressed here in the past two games? We'll get your calls next here on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 7:45. Feel good Friday in our nation's capital. I guess it's a misery Friday, technically, huh? Damn. We had a misery Monday and a misery. No. Wait. Yeah. Misery Monday and a misery Friday. Just a hell of a week. Hell of a week. I know some of you all may not care about this, but the cool people out there in the world do. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul tonight. When I tell you I'm going to drive at illegal speeds to get home from here just to get in front of my TV to watch, I can't wait. I can't wait. There was like a weigh-in last night, and Jake Paul stepped on Tyson's foot, and Tyson slapped the hell out of him. I just don't know. My boy said the craziest thing to me. He was like, bruh, why are they about to do this to Tyson tonight? Like, it's scripted. Why are they about to do this to Mike Tyson tonight? Let Jake Paul whip his ass. I'd be, for the culture, Mike, you can't go like that. I mean, you can't get whooped tonight. For real boxing truthers around the world and people that looked at you as the baddest man on the planet for years, you can't lose to some YouTube sensation. That's how I look at it. But I was watching Tyson, like, hit the bag. First of all, you couldn't pay me to be one of those bag-holding people because all it takes is one errant punch and you're dead. I was going to say you're in the hospital. No, you're dead. He's got the type of power, man. He'll kill your ass. But no, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson tonight, that definitely has me super excited. I'm excited for week 11 in the National Football League as well. Going to be an exciting week, and it feels like we're at that stage in the season where we're starting to separate our contenders from our pretenders. And I think this week, based on some of the matchups, you're going to find out who's real and who's not. Upset specials all weekend long. Remember, you heard it here first. If you got a little bit of change, Ryan, this is for you too. I like Cleveland over New Orleans. They're an underdog. I like Tennessee over Minnesota. They're an underdog. We'll get back into the Burgundy and go. I don't want to bore you all. But in reality, if you're in the hole a little bit financially, this could be your weekend. Speaking of it being your weekend, it is not the Commanders' weekend because they're off. They'll get an extended rest before they take on Dallas next weekend in a rivalry that doesn't really have much juice, in my opinion. And it feels like each and every year there's some sort of storyline with one of the teams where one is way more relevant than the other. This year, Washington going to be the relevant team. But how much longer is Washington going to be relevant is my question. Last 2 weeks, this offense that came out like gangbusters through the first 9 weeks of the season, they have been absolutely stymied at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles. The state of Pennsylvania whipped the Commanders' ass in the past 5 days. But why? That's what I want to get to here. Because the Commanders' numbers offensively the last 2 weeks, when you put on the tape from that first 8 weeks, you would go, huh? This isn't even the same football team. A lot of people want to point to the injury to Jaden Daniels' ribs. I don't know if I'm willing to go there. I just think Philadelphia presented a challenge that maybe he just wasn't accustomed to. I mean, they disguised their coverage as well as anybody in the National Football League is what Vic Fangio wants to do. But nonetheless, it led to this offense looking god-awful last night. And I'll say this, because there's a whole bunch of theories out there. That's why we're asking the question of, we know they've regressed, but what do you think is the number one reason why they've regressed? What would you blame it on if there was one thing you had to point your finger at? Let's look at Jaden's health for a second. First of all, I said this from the get-go when he first got hurt against Carolina, a rib injury is something that if you don't give it rest, when you get hit again, when you get popped again, when you get touched up again, you're going to feel it like you felt it the first time. So while they're doing the cute game of trying to say he's all right, not listing him on the injury report, if they're lying, I hope we get fined and all that. I don't play that. I promise you I don't. Because it's stupid. They know he hurt. Watch the kid play. How the hell, as a coach, are you going to sit up there at the podium and try to tell me he's 100%? He's not. He's not. And we should have expected it. Coming out of a game against Pittsburgh where he got knocked around in that one, he had less time to prepare, so that's less time to get those ribs loosened back up and to get the core to full strength. It looked like it last night. Throwing the ball at dude's feet. He looked like walking to him Wentz at times last night. And it's so glaring because the accuracy part of his game is what we were praising throughout the first 9 weeks. So to see him all of a sudden be inaccurate, it's hard for me not to think it's the rib. And like I continue to say, I'm not in the business of baking in excuses for this young man, but you got to call a spade a spade. The other part of this is I think the play calling's got to improve. Cliff Kingsbury, and I said this all last week, when Washington has played stout run defenses, the patience from Cliff Kingsbury to run the football has not been there. Brian Robinson makes his return to the lineup last night, gives you 4 yards a pop, yet only touches it 16 times. Your bread and butter is B-Rob carrying that thing 25 or more times. He's that type of back. He is. But here's what I mean by Cliff doesn't have patience. See, when Jalen Carter blows up a run, when Nolan Smith blows up a run, when Jordan Davis blows up a run, Cliff becomes more and more reluctant to call run plays, and that can't be the case because you never know which one's going to bust. You just don't. But Brian Robinson last night in this running game I thought was efficient while they did it. He only averaged 3.3 yards a pop, but it felt like it was helping you stay ahead of the sticks on first down when you did run the ball. But I get it. There were some negative runs mixed in there. That's why I go to patience. This is why you give the ball to Brian Robinson, though. Running backs with the highest rush success rate through 11 weeks. Number one, Bijan Robinson. Number two, David Montgomery. Number three, Brian Robinson. B-Rob's got the goods. He is a physical, bruising, downhill runner that, quite frankly, this offense needs, especially right now when the quarterback's not healthy. Because you're putting a lot of onus on your offensive line, and guess what? The past 2 weeks, they have played two different type of interior freaks. Cam Hayward is a guy that's going to collapse the pocket with his strength. Jalen Carter is a guy that's going to beat you with his quickness and his strength. Sam Cosmi struggled last night a little bit. He was probably the best of the interior three. Another thing, Tyler Badass, be honest. If you're hurt, brother, get the hell out and put Mike Dieter in. He can't anchor. He's getting walked into the lap of the quarterback. Nick Allegretti looked god-awful. Andrew Wiley at times looked god-awful. We got to be better, man. Guys didn't execute up front. There's a multitude of different things that's led to this offense coming to a screeching halt here in the past couple of weeks. What's your number one thing, though? Paul is in D.C. What's up, Paul?
In the words of Denzel Washington on training day, my brother, my brother, my brother, you got everything right on the head. You need to go on the sports reporter and do a special guest appearance and let them know what the truth is, brother. I got to tell Doc Walker, you was on point tonight. Listen, everything you said is true. Here's the thing. Good coaches understand how to protect their quarterback. And if your quarterback is hurt with a rib injury, does it make sense to throw the ball a whole bunch? No, it doesn't. If your offensive line is struggling, does it make sense to put them in pass protection a whole lot? No, it doesn't. If you're going against a stout interior lineman like Davis and Carter, does it make sense to drop your quarterback back 100 times? No, it doesn't. You run the ball with B-Rob. You run the ball with Eckler. You switch it up with some tolls, some halfback tolls. You switch it up with some power runs, some off-tackle stuff. And then guess what? You do a play action, and you hit him up over the top with Terry McLaurin. And you got to be patient because here's the thing. Look what – both the game was even.
Yep.
We were up 12-10. Hit me out. We was up 12-10, and Philly stuck with the run. And then in the fourth quarter, boom, Saquon Barkley busts out for two touchdowns and two big runs. That's all it takes, bro. It's patience. Like you say, you got to wear them down. It's not going to be an early return all the time. But, see, what the problem is with him is that these offensive coordinators are always auditioning for the next head coaching job. He wants to prove to everybody that he's an offensive genius so he can get that next job. I'm going to tell you why I say that. That last drive, they were not playing to win. They were playing to get yards and make the score look respectable because they never really used the timeout until they got down to the goal line. So that was those padded yards. So really and truthfully, when you talk about the defense had given up 10 points in three quarters.
Yep.
What more did you want from them? If you tell anybody you're going to hold Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown to 10 points, you'll take that.
You take
Come
it.
Come on, man.
I'm telling you.
Man, we got to get Cliff Kingsbury back on the block of running the ball.
You would think with the quarterback being hurt, Paul, that you would naturally lean that way, brother. And I appreciate the
everything
call.
You said
appreciate
goes to
the
that.
Call as always, man. Yeah, I hear
everything you said is that a bad offensive line, quarterback hurt, and you struggling, all of that says run the ball more.
For sure. Paul, appreciate you as always, brother. Yeah, look, I mean, it just is what it is. My thing is this, though. I don't think it's something that's not fixable. Because, see, the fact of the matter may be this. We're good enough to beat the mediocre defenses. We're good enough to move the ball up and down the field on the mediocre defenses. But against the good ones, we struggle a little bit. And that's okay. That's okay. It's year one. But my thing is this. I'm more so looking at Jaden. Because I hope he's hurt. I hope he's hurt. That would be the best case narrative, the best case logic for why he has struggled so much the past 2 weeks. He's hurt. I like that. That's easier to comprehend. If he's not hurt and they're being honest, then what? Then what? Because, see, this is the thing about the National Football League. When teams get tape on you and they figure you out, man, other teams are going to try to replicate it. I sat up here all week and listened to people say Pittsburgh did not put the blueprint out on how to stop the Commanders' offense. I look at the way Philadelphia defended Washington. N'Kobe Dean was Patrick Queen. If you watched last night and you watched Sunday, N'Kobe Dean played the role of Patrick Queen on Sunday. And Sunday, Patrick Queen played the best game of the season because of the role they put him in. Spy Jaden, take away the underneath coverage. I mean, take away the underneath stuff using your speed. But y'all can watch it, though. Jaden's hurt. Something's wrong with him. He's either hurt or somebody's in his head telling him, don't run. One or the other. Because there were opportunities last night where he had the chance to take off, and he gave himself up. I don't care if they got to put him in Kevlar. If this dude can't use his legs, he's not as effective. And the offense takes a massive step back. Coach Turnout, Hollywood, what's going on? Coach! What's going on, Coach? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, I was calling because I'm saying a lot of this is the coach. Sometimes the coach with a rookie quarterback needs to look and see if he can play that quarterback. When you seen him on Sunday and he couldn't set that foot, he was missing those passes, you set him down for Philly. You set him down and you give him the 2 weeks to recover, to get that confidence back. I think that was a big part of what happened on Thursday night.
I agree. But the other thing to me is this, man. If he's not healthy, take him out there. But it's on Jaden too, man. Speak up.
It's definitely on Jaden. But you understand, we had an RG3 here who thought he could just keep on playing when he was hurt. No, coaches have to say, hey, look, rookie, we got to sit you down. Get yourself together and come on back. You are our franchise guy.
And the thing that's interesting about quarterbacks and trying to play through injury at that position is that you create bad habits mechanically trying to compensate, and that's what we're seeing him doing. That's why the fadeaway stuff's happening. That's why he's not standing in the pocket and following through on throws. It's going to be interesting. They got a lot of self-scouting to do during this mini-bye, Coach. I appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. More of your calls. The Commanders' offense stymied here in the past two games against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. multitude of different reasons, but we want to hear from you. What is your number one reason this Commanders offense is taking a step back, and do you have the confidence that they'll be able to right their wrongs in the stretch run of the season? All that and more coming up next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. If anybody on the line or in their car knows, or Ryan, maybe you can look this up, or I can look it up. Because I promise you, I am driving home at illegal speeds to get in front of Mike Tyson and Logan Paul. When does their actual fight start?
Okay,
if the undercard's at 8, a normal boxing match, they wouldn't be on until like 11.
Yeah, but like usually those matches are in like Vegas or something, so it's only an hour time difference. I feel like it's probably going to start like around 10:30 local time, if I had to bet.
I don't know, though. I need it. It's honestly the highlight of my weekend. I'm back on the Infinity Sports Network tomorrow doing some national radio. That's also, I guess, the highlight of my weekend. But let me stop being a company kiss ass. The highlight of my weekend is Jake Paul. Is it Jake or Logan Paul? One of those Paul boys versus Mike Tyson.
Jake.
I give kudos to Jake Paul. The only reason Jake Paul got any respect from me is because he got Ruby Rose to pop out last night to the weigh-in, Ryan. I know you know about old Double R. That's all I'm going to say about Double R. You want to talk about a wagon. Woof. But no, he seems like such a jerk, though. I want Mike Tyson to beat the dog crap out of him. I do. Like, that's genuinely what I am looking forward to. I mentioned it at the top of the show, Mike warming up. Mike better not go out there and get knocked out, man. If Mike go out there and get knocked out tonight, I think he's motivated. His kids are in attendance. We're going to see. Back to the phones, though. 1-800-636-1067. Commanders offense past 2 weeks has been abysmal. Play calling hasn't been favorable. Offensive line hasn't played well. Quarterback's hurt, hasn't played well. Skill position guys at wide receiver not doing enough. But what's the number one reason? If you had to finger point one thing as to why this Commander's offense has regressed, what would it be? Let's go to Lap. DC, what's up, Lap?
Hey, what's up, Linnell? I had to show you some love, Brian. Talk to you in a while, man. Hope you're doing well.
I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. It's coaching and Jalen, man. I mean, and then, you know, what's funny is, like, we keep doing these design runs. You know what I'm saying? He's not getting no yards. He still can take hits on those design runs. So it's like, if he's not 100%, like, why are you still got him out there for one? And for two, why are you doing design runs? And he just don't look – he don't look the same, bro. He don't look like he got his confidence. I don't know what's going on.
He looks slow.
Yeah. Yeah,
like he's not running, like he's scared.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, I don't want that bad juju from when Cliff Kingsbury and when he was with the Cardinals and Dan Quinn, that debacle he had in the Super Bowl, man. We don't know it was better than what it was last year. We're a better team, but we've been getting spoiled, man. We've been expecting to win every game, you know what I'm saying? So we getting teased here. So hopefully, man, they figure it out and get it together. And I was disappointed in the offense the last few weeks, not helping the defense out, man, because we don't have the best on our defense, but them boys is competing, man. So we got to do better.
They did enough to win. Yep. I appreciate the call. I think that's the thing I'm most encouraged about is the defense has played amazing. Think about how critical we were of the defense to start the year. From a pass defense perspective, from a run defense perspective, I think they've gotten better in both phases. They're just currently being asked to do too much. But Joe Witt and company, they coaching, man. I think Brian Mitchell said this, and I happen to agree with it. Like, we don't understand the impact that coaching has on players because we've had poor coaching for so long here. I just think that's a fact. Like, Ken Norton, Bobby Johnson, Joe Witt, like, they got some dudes that are coaching their at Cliff Kingsbury. Like, I like this coaching staff. They're not perfect. No coaching staff is. But I know a lot of people are frustrated with Cliff Kingsbury, and I know it goes to the lack of the patience with the running game. You also got to look at it from an execution standpoint, too. Every play is designed to work. You just got to execute it. They're not executing right now for a multitude of different reasons. Telly, DC.
Hell to the Redskins. Big L, what's popping?
The imposter, Telly. So it's the imposter, Telly.
Oh, the imposter?
Yeah, I can't. I can no longer dub you the real. You can't be dubbed as the real Telly, brother. I found out that you weren't the original Telly. So I.
People believe in lies every day. Why should you be the same? Tell them Fever the greatest here, man. I'm the original one that gave you Big L. Big L all day. Yeah. What I will say, man, my man Paul that came on, hey, you know, he took that five right there. It reminds me, and you know, all the years that I've been spitting when we was going through the grueling years and the line Riviera years.
Riviera.
You know.
The mortician.
Yeah, man. Yeah, all the line years, and we was just one-dimensional, and we was predictable, and all of that, man. That you know, we was predictable, especially last game. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, we let up off for what we should have been doing, and the reason why Jalen was doing his thing, and that was off that running game. Different formations in the running game led to Jalen seeing the field and the game slowing down for him. Now, I don't believe that the one game that he got put out and then the backup came in or whatever, he's been getting popped every game. So your body can only take so much. Yeah, he in pain, but as the coaching staff, you know that. You've been around the game all your life. You've been coaching. You're adults in the building. So you make the game easier on your quarterback. Design plays to get your – we got four beast running backs. Rodriguez, I'm going to call him Rodney because I get the Rodriguez thing all messed up. Rodney, I'm going to call him Rodney.
Hey, tell y'all for that one, I got to let you go, brother. I can't – what? You said you're going to call him Vic. Vic, how are you, brother?
I'm good, bro. What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Leo, I could really, you know, go in and really bust down the film from, you know, play by play and things of that nature. But having been around the game most of my life, what I saw last night is we are a good football team. We're just not elite yet. We're not elite yet. In the areas where you need to be elite, in situational football, when personal battles, one-on-one battles in multiple areas of your team, whether on the line, at the receiver position, at the linebacker position, when the team is working together, winning one-on-one battles against your team, we weren't elite. And we were projected to win four games this year, and we've won seven, and we've lost four. Excuse my chime.
Well, damn, Vic, so you gonna put your seatbelt on? Oh, no, that's not even the seatbelt. That's not even the seatbelt. That's on me. That's it. You just got in the car.
It's all good.
I got it.
it's all good. So the fact that we have won seven games and been as competitive as we've been throughout the year, it lets me know that we're better. It lets me know that we can compete, and it lets me know that the things that we need to correct are correctable from a front office standpoint and from a film standpoint and from a football, just being on the field standpoint. But at the end of the day, it's only so much scheming you can do when the linemen you are in front of are in front of you. They're beating you off the ball. Just straight up, they're beating you off the ball. Quick hands, low leverage.
Yep.
And you're competing, you're fighting, but they're beating you off the ball at the point of attack. It's only so much scheming you can do when you're getting beat up, when your linemen are beating your offensive linemen, their linemen.
But there's things you can do. But Vic, there's things you can do to protect them as well. And I would, you know, I would love to go back and forth with this, but we're up against it, brother. I appreciate you. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, that's tough. I get it. Offensive line struggled. We're in a world of hurt. I'll be honest with you. As happy as I've been about the 7-2 start, the last 2 weeks have I'm starting to change my tune. It's not even that I'm changing my tune. I guess it's me beating my chest, patting myself on the back. Vic hit it. We're good. We're not elite, which is what I keep saying. We're in that second tier of teams in the NFC East. Excuse me, in the NFC. There's Philly. There's Detroit. There's Green Bay. And then there's everybody else. We're the everybody else. It's going to do it. Here for this Friday night edition of Overtime. Thank you, Ryan. Staying after. Getting us out of here. I'm sure you watch Jake Paul and Ruby Rose tonight as they take on Mike Tyson. Good night.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.